people were dozing off and all that. In a very highly spiritual mood, some people were dozing off, others were fast asleep. And interestingly too, there were some people who were having, listen, they were having tête-à-tête conversation. They were chatting in front of me. They were feeling very comfortable, but they were praying. Hallelujah. Today we are going to hear God's word. I want you to open your heart and your spirit and believe God that he's going to touch you this morning. Hallelujah. I said believe that God is going to what? Touch you this morning. But before we start, I want us to be on our feet. You are going to pray. You are going to pray briefly, and then I'll share the word of God with us. In the next few minutes, I want you to lift up your voice and begin to speak in the language of the Spirit. I want us to quicken our spirit this morning, even as we prepare to hear the word of God, even as we believe God to touch us, as we believe God to minister unto us. In the next few minutes, can I hear you pray in the language of the Spirit? I cannot hear you, somebody. Pray and tell God that today you want to experience him. Today you want him to touch you. You want him to touch you this morning. You want him to speak to you. You want your ears to be open. You want your heart to be receptive to his word. Open your mouth, begin to pray in the language of the Spirit. That today's deposit will take you forever. Today's deposit will take you forever. It will take you forever. It will take you forever. You will not lose any bit. Any bit of it. You will not miss it. You will not miss it. You will not lose it. In the name of Jesus. Ta 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 ba na ba na ba sha ta na ba 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 ba. Ta na ba na ba na ba sha te ne ne bri ke te ne bri ke te ne ba na ba na ba na ba. Ah, pakata na na ba na ba na ba na ba na ba na ba sha ta. Re ke te ne bro su ta na na ba na ba sha. Ra pa 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 pa. Your spirit will be lifted up this morning in the name of Jesus. Da pa 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 sata re ke ten de 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 sata a pan de de bro sata ta 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 na ba 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 sata. You never leave me, you won't forsake me, and that's what matters. You are the covenant keeping God. You are the covenant keeping God. I want you to lift up your hands. Yahweh, covenant keeping God. Yahweh, covenant keeping God. Song is for somebody this morning. God will not leave your side. Whatever he has said concerning your life, he is going to do it. I came to you this morning to give you that reassurance that God is by your side.
Yahweh, Yahweh, take him to church well prepared. The Lord said, I should tell you, whatever you have asked him, he's going to do it for you. I don't know what your prayer was before you left the house this morning, but I came to tell you that God is saying that whatever you are believing him for, whatever you are trusting him for today, the covenant keeping God said he's going to hear to that covenant. His word will not fall to the ground, and whatever he has said, he will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we be seated in heavenly places? Today, I want to spend time so that we talk. I'll preach a little bit and then we'll pray. But I want you to, be very, very expectant, okay? Because your attitude towards the word of God is going to determine where God will take you this morning. Amen. Did you hear that? Your attitude, the way you be receptive towards the word, will determine what God wants to do with you. Hallelujah. So we are still on stirring up the spirit or stirring up the flame. Please, can you give me the book of Luke chapter 5? Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Today we'll read some small scriptures too, okay? So those of you who have your notebooks with you, be writing. When you go home, you can spend time going through it. Hallelujah. But basically what I'll be talking about three people today. I'll talk about Peter, I'll talk about Paul, and then finally I'll talk about Apollos. How many of you have heard about Apollos before? It's in the Bible. Apollos is in the Bible. We've all heard about Peter. We've all heard about the Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul. Most of us have heard about him. But Apollos, if you are not a Bible fanatic, maybe you may not have probably heard about him. But I'll spend some time talking more about Apollos too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word? Father, we thank you for today. We commit the service into your hands. We ask that, Lord Jesus, our hearts will be receptive to your word. We also ask that, Lord Jesus, your word will transform us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Can I get New King James Version? That's what I prepared with. So give me New King James Version. So the Bible is saying that, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. We are talking about Jesus here, okay? And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boats. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now Peter is complaining. They haven't caught anything throughout the night. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Somebody say, at thy word. The next six. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. They have received a net breaking testimony. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. I'm interested in this part. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now this is where Peter and the sons of the Zebedee get called by the Lord. And this is the first time Peter is also what? Having an encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, when you read the scripture, you think that after Peter had experienced our Savior Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible is saying that after they've, how do you call it? They've been trying to make a catch throughout the night. Nothing was happening to them. They were not getting anything. But when they met Jesus Christ was telling them that they should try it for the last, lest they should try it. But even when Jesus was, they didn't know that something was going to come out of it. They were not too sure. But Peter was saying that at thy word, he was going to do it. So some way, somehow, he activated his faith. Hallelujah. Don't sleep with me. We are getting somewhere. I want you to understand something and then we'll pick it up from there. So Peter then get called after having some form of encounter with Jesus Christ. Now the sons of Zebedee, they are no longer mentioned again. Now everything is going to be about Peter, even though the other disciples were called and everything. But I realize that now the focus is shifting to, how do you call it, Peter. At a point, we also realize that Jesus empowered the disciples to also go out and then preach the word of God. Like I was saying, my focus is on three people: Peter, Paul, and then who? I can't hear you. I said three people: Peter, Paul, and then who else? Apollos. Okay. So now I'm spending some time with Peter. When you look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1, can you give me Luke 9, verse 1? Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal them. Hello? And he said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have 2 tunics apiece." It's okay. So the disciples are now, they are depicting what Jesus Christ was expecting them to do. Now we see them performing some form of miracles and everything. But like I'm saying, my focus is on Peter. So when you move to verse 18, can you take me to 18? 9:18. Okay. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" Now, listen. Peter had experienced Jesus Christ before, right? When they were trying to catch the fish. And then Jesus told him that at thy word, this and this and this was going to happen. So he has experienced some form of encounter with Jesus Christ. You get me? Now let's see another encounter he had with him. So they answered and said, "Some people are saying that you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. And others are also saying that you are one of the old prophets that has what? Risen." Now, 12 disciples, everybody is giving what? His perception, or some, should I say, what they think or they believe Jesus Christ is. And from this, you can see that they are all missing out on the real thing. Give me the next verse. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Now this same Peter is coming again. And Peter is saying that you are the Christ of God. It means that even though there are several people around Jesus Christ, there are some people who are benefiting more from the encounter. Some people are getting a deeper revelation about Jesus Christ. I came to you this morning to tell you that you are going to experience a deeper revelation about Christ. I cannot hear you. I said you are going to experience a deeper revelation about Christ Jesus. So they all miss out on who Jesus is. But once again, Peter is proving himself. And he's saying that, come back for me again. And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one. Next, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow." In other, when you look at Matthew and then I think the book of John, they give a deeper insight about what actually happened. Because after Peter told Jesus Christ that he is the Christ, he told him that "For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." That is what Jesus told him. He said, "For flesh and blood did not reveal to you that I am the Christ." Because the others were probably in the what? Physical. They were just seen from the normal. But Peter was able to what? Get some of access into the supernatural. And he was able to pick the real information. And he told Jesus Christ that he is the Christ. Still focusing on Peter. Now, it got to a point Jesus was also going to pray. And on that mountain, Jesus Christ was transfigured. He went with his 12 disciples. When they got to a place, he asked some of them to wait. And he took 3 people with him. Who were these 3 people? Peter was part. And during the time of the transfiguration, the Bible says that the face of Jesus Christ was transfigured. Now pay attention to this one too. It is another form of encounter for Peter again. Because he saw Elijah and Moses appear to them during the transfiguration. Hallelujah. So Peter again, experiencing some form of encounter with the Lord. Hallelujah. But this same Peter. Somebody say, this same Peter. The same Peter, when the time became tough, he denied Jesus Christ. You remember? And he denied him how many times? 3 times. After all the experiences that Peter had with Jesus Christ, he still denied him how many times? 3 solid times. But Peter did not give up. He did not give up because there was some fire burning in Peter. There was something in Peter that could not resist this call that he had upon his life. Even though at this point, Peter had given up on everything. The disciples had scattered when Jesus Christ was arrested. They all scattered. They were all running for their own lives. And Peter himself, even though it had been prophesied to him that he was going to what? Betray Jesus on 3 good occasions, he still went ahead and did it. If it were you, you put in some measures. Am I telling lies? If somebody tells you that, oh, the maths paper you are going to write, you are going to get a C. I won't say F. No. You are going to get a C. What will you do? Won't you put in a lot of effort to make sure that that C will never happen? That's what on a normal day we'll be doing. But Peter missed it. Peter missed it. But Peter did not give up on that stirring of the Spirit that was in him. So when you come to the book of Acts chapter 2, give me the book of Acts chapter 2, which was the day of Pentecost. This same Peter had gathered the people. He has brought them together so that they will come and wait on the Holy Spirit. Because if you have, you know, disowned Christ and betrayed him, on a normal day, you probably not have the edge to even walk with him again. Sometimes that's how we feel. Yesterday I was chatting with someone and the person was like, nowadays, because of the way I cannot pray, I cannot fast, I cannot do anything, I feel like I have to even give up. I pray that we will never get there. I didn't hear you. I said, I pray that we will never get there. He said that because he's not praying, he's not reading the word of God, he's not going to church like the way he used to go. It just feels like giving up. But we cannot give up. I said, we cannot give up. Children of God, I said, we cannot give up. Because the Lord has deposited something in us that the devil also continued to fight it. And that was exactly what Peter experienced. Because after he betrayed Jesus 3 times, I'm sure he went down in his spirit. But lo and behold, he knew that there was something in him. The Lord Jesus Christ had deposited something in him. And that fire was still burning in Peter. So he was able to mobilize the crowd once again so that they will wait upon the Lord. Because Christ Jesus had promised them that he was going to send the comforter. And that comforter was the Holy Spirit. Now Peter is coming back to himself and he's saying that we need to pray together and have fellowship together and trust that the word that our Lord and Savior had given to us will come to pass. So on the day of Pentecost, Peter, who has been down for some time, Peter, who has been down for some time, let's see what will happen to him. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear it in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Move to the 15 for me, let me see. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Now, Peter Peter's ministry has bounced back again. His ministry has bounced back again, not by his own might or by his own strength, but it is the Spirit of the Lord that has come upon Peter this time around. Because Peter used to be a timid person. He was running away. But now Peter has come back to his normal self. I came to tell you this morning, you will not lose the fire in you in the name of Jesus. So Peter's ministry has been rebirthed. And he has taken charge once again. The main lead of the apostles. Nobody spoke. Peter was the one speaking now. And the others were looking at him. And they know that, yes, indeed, Peter has experienced Jesus Christ. I pray for somebody this morning that you will be bold. You will be courageous. The fire in you will make you a man and a woman of courage, a man and a woman of power and authority. Hallelujah. Now I want us to move to the Apostle Paul. Let me talk briefly about the Apostle Paul. The Bible described him as Saul in the beginning. And what was he doing? The Bible says that he was a very learned person. Saul was a lawyer by profession, but a very wicked man. Saul was a very, very wicked man. Why was he a wicked man? Because he was going for authorization. You get it? So that he'll be able to what? Prosecute Christians. Is it prosecute or persecute? One is more than the other. Which is which? Persecute, yes. He had gone for a letter, an authorization, so that he would go after what? The Christians. And he was so excited about it. He has gotten approval because they had done that to Stephen already. They had finished Stephen. They wanted to do more. Nobody should sleep here. If you sleep, the Holy Spirit will call you. Hallelujah. Please follow me. Okay, we are heading towards somewhere. And we'll get there. You need the word. Do you understand? You need the word. So pay attention. Don't sleep. Okay. I was talking about Saul, right? Good. So I'm saying that this man called Saul, who is a very wicked man, had previously made arrangements to ensure that Stephen was what? Stoned to death. And they were happy about it because Stephen was one of them. He was also a disciple. Or should I say he was an elder? He wasn't part of the main 12. So don't get it wrong. But God is saying that this man called Saul, whilst he was on his way to go and persecute the Christians, wickedness to the highest level, he has channeled the fire of God into evil. The fire that God had given to him, he was channeling into something else to kill other people who call themselves Christians. That was what Saul was doing. He didn't know that God had a plan for him. So the Bible says that on his way to Damascus, the Holy Spirit appeared to him. And when the Holy Spirit appeared to him, he asked him, Paul, why do you persecute me? Why? Why are you doing that to me? Why is Saul doing that to him? And that was the turning point of Apostle. That was the turning point of Saul. Saul's life changed. after that encounter. And so that energy he was using to what? Crucify and persecute Christians. That energy was changed to something else. The Lord shifted and channeled the energy into something positive. So when you read further, it says that so now his name changed from what? Saul to Paul. And we all know how Paul became one of the greatest apostles of all times. After this encounter, the greatest apostle of all times. And he's even credited with what? Writing most of the what? Epistles in the book of what? In the New Testament. An evil person. After an encounter with God, his name changed. This morning, I want to come to you to tell you that your name is changing. I said your name is changing. Your name is changing. The Lord is changing your name for you. Now, I want to talk about Apollos, who have fallen in love with whilst I was preparing for this message. I fell in love with Apollos. Why did I fall in love with this man called Apollos? Because his name is not mentioned. His name is not mentioned at all. It wasn't part of the apostles. But his name appeared with an encounter he had experienced earlier on. Give me the book of Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Now you see why I fall in love with Apollos. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. Alexandria is where? It's in Africa. Do you know that? How many of you know Alexandria is in Africa? Let me see your hands. You don't know. Alexandria is in Egypt. Okay. An eloquent man. Now, let's watch the description. Watch it well. Some of you will fit into his description. And mighty in the scriptures. You see, all the people I mentioned earlier, they didn't get this kind of description. Oh, you know that. Oh. Don't do that to Apollos. An eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures came to Ephesus. 25. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He's a prim and proper Christian. A prim and proper Christian. It means that he knows what he's about in life. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. May you receive Apollos' description. I didn't hear you. I said, may you receive Apollos' description. Then when people are talking about you, they will say these things about you. Though he knew only the baptism of John, and that is the place that I did not understand. Why is it that I did not understand? Because he had not had any form of experience with the Holy Spirit. But look at the kind of description that Apollos is having. It means that Apollos himself is a man on fire. Some of you are like, oh, I haven't seen the Holy Spirit showing me some things. I haven't heard the word of God. God has not said anything. I don't even dream about anything. I read the word of God. Nothing is happening to me. Hey. You don't need those things. If God wants to use you, he will still use you. Because Apollos has not experienced any extraordinary thing. The furthest he had gone was where? The baptism of John. But for us sitting here, majority of us, we have experienced more than that. We have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire, the baptism of everything. So if we who have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which every serious Christian desires for, then our portion must be on another level. You are not saying amen because you don't understand what I'm saying. Let me go over it again. Another description of the man. 24, let's go back. I want you to get something. The Bible is saying that there is a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. Listen to the description again. He has not experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. He has not been baptized with the Holy Ghost yet. And I said the furthest he had gone was what? The baptism of John. And mind you, there are people or the disciples, some of them have experienced the baptism of the Holy, but their name was never mentioned. But Apollos from nowhere, his name is mentioned. And look at the kind of description that he's getting. Eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures came to Ephesus. The next one. This man had been instructed in the ways of the Lord. Who was instructing him? He didn't have anybody he was following. Like I'm saying, all he knew was about John. And being fervent in spirit, he was zealous about the things of the spirit. Where did he learn that one to from? Where did Apollos learn it from? To be on fire for Christ. Where did Apollos learn it from? Because Apollos was not there when the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost. He was not there. You don't have an excuse. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Only the baptism of John. That's all Apollos. Nobody should sleep. Now, listen to something. When you continue to read the book of Acts, his name is mentioned again. And this time around, they are comparing Apollos with Apostle Paul. But before I go, before I move there, come further for me. Calm down. 26. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him inside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now, Priscilla and Aquila, they have some of acquaintance with what? The Apostle Paul. So I'm sure they too, some way, somehow, have experienced the power of the Holy Ghost. And they are saying that, no, this man Apollos, he has everything. He has it all. He has to become like us. There's only one thing that he's lacking. And that thing is lacking is the power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have that one yet. So Aquila and Priscilla are bringing him on board. They want to introduce him into the what? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now let's see. They took him inside. Come back. 26. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They explained things to him. And I'm sure they were explaining the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they are saying the furthest he had gone was what? The baptism of John. And for Christians, it doesn't end there. John's baptism is the baptism of water. It doesn't end there. As Christians, we must yearn for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him 27. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciple to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. Now let me come back to what I was saying earlier. I said the next time his name was coming again was that they were comparing Apollos with Apostle Paul. But we all know the things that the Apostle Paul did. We all know. So for Apollos to be compared, not a bad comparison. No, don't get it wrong. It's a positive comparison. It's a very positive one. Because they have recognized the zeal and the passion of this young man. So some of them started saying that, oh, we are of Paul. Others who were saying that they were of Apollos. But can you blame Apollos? You cannot blame him. Because he's a man who had prepared himself physically and spiritually. He knows the way of the Lord. He knows the word of God. And he has what? Put himself in the right position. So after Apollos will even receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it means that he will be on another level. That is why now they are comparing him with Apostle Paul. So you see the reason why I fell in love with Apollos. That sometimes, some of us, we are waiting for some extraordinary things to happen before we get to believe that there is some fire in us. But the question is, what if those things don't come? I'm not saying that it will not come. It will come anyways. But what if it doesn't come? Does it mean that the Holy Spirit is not in you? Does it mean that the power of the Holy Ghost cannot work in you? No. No. Let's take a cue from Apollos. Apollos the Great. Holy Spirit, thank you. I've mentioned three people here. Peter, Paul, and Apollos. Three great apostles. Three great apostles of the Lord who have been burning with some form of passion to do the work of God. And that will be some of us, our story. Our zeal for the Lord will not be the same. Whether we are going to experience the Holy Spirit in some way or not, the Lord will still use us. Yes, the Lord will still use you. Whether you like it or not, He will still use you. All you need to do is to avail yourself. Avail yourself and you are done. Avail yourself. And as you are availing yourself, that is when the fire will be burning in you. The Holy Ghost fire will be burning in you. It will be burning in you. And some of us, we find ourselves in a position where we feel that, oh, God can never use me. The way I see myself, I don't think that God can use somebody like me. But don't forget, Peter was a fisherman. Okay, Peter was what? A fisherman. A mere fisherman. And today, if I walk to Sakumono Beach and I see the fishermen there, and I tell the fishermen there that they are also going to become apostles, I'm sure most of them will not even believe it. But don't underestimate yourself. It doesn't matter where you find yourself or where you come from. The Spirit of the Lord is in you. And you see, the giftings that we are getting, the power the Spirit of the Lord has given to us, or the impartation that we have received, we cannot let it go waste. It cannot go waste. Oh, yes. we must benefit from it. Hallelujah. Let me go back to. We'll pray, okay? Don't worry. So when I'm comparing these three apostles, I'm asking myself one question. How did Peter, Paul, Apollos keep their fire burning? Because there were times that they were down. How did they manage? How did they overcome all these things? How did they do it? Because some of us, it's like that. When today you are praying, tomorrow you are not praying, and then you are down. Like what I was sharing, somebody telling me that, oh, I'm not praying like the way I used to pray. It doesn't matter. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord. You must encourage yourself. And my prayer for us, Teen Chapel, is that we will not lose the power of the Holy Ghost that has been deposited in us. That has been my prayer all this while. That we will not lose it. Nothing will take it away from us. But how do we hold on to this? How do we hold on to it? How do we hold on to it? And I have just some five things I'll mention. When I finish, we'll pray. Time is running very fast now. If you can write this. The first one, we can't go back to what we used to be. Write it down. We can't go back to what we used to be. Peter did not go back to fishing. Note that. The Apostle Paul did not go back as Saul again to be murdering what? The Christians. He did not do that again. Right? So we can't go back to what we used to be. I don't know what you used to be before we went for camp and even after camp. I don't know. But whatever it used to be, we have crossed that stage. Because the Spirit of the Lord has been deposited in us now. And all those things have passed away. We have become new things now. And we are looking forward. And we are marching on as soldiers of the Lord. Hallelujah. Secondly, we must set our eyes on things above. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. Some of us, we are very physical people. We don't set our eyes on things above. We are always thinking about physical things. Using logic to draw conclusion. So we have become like scientists. Yes. We have become like scientists. But if you want to maintain this kind of fire, okay, if you want to maintain it, you must set your eyes on things above. You must have the supernatural at the back of your mind that God can do just anything with you. So even right now when I come and tell you that, oh, I see the Lord changing your results from C to an A, you start saying that, but how is that possible? Me, I know what I wrote. And when I remember the things I wrote, I don't think I'll get more than a C. It ends there. You are not opening up your spirit. You are being physical. You are not being spiritual. But it's time for us to also become what? Very spiritual beings. Me, I'm praying for that time where a teen will come to me and come and give me some serious prophetic word. I'm waiting for that day. That you people are always receiving. We too, we must receive from you at a point in time. That you not say that you are too young. You are not young. if you are young, then we shouldn't be taking people for camp and the rest. No, you're not young. You people must be very spiritual. Hallelujah. We should set our eyes on things above. I remember Apostle Paul, when he went to Malta. How many of us remember that scripture? It's in the book of Acts. When Paul entered into Malta, and then the viper, how do you call it? The viper came on his hand, and then the viper beat him. The people of Malta are saying that what? Paul is a what? They said Paul is a what? Oh, you people don't remember. They said Paul was a what? They were saying that Paul is a cursed man. And they were waiting for Paul to die. Because when that viper bites you, you cannot survive it. But Paul knew who he was. And he shook the viper off his hand. But the people were still waiting that Paul would die. They waited and waited and waited. The Apostle Paul did not die. And what happened? They changed their mind about him. They said that this man is a god. I pray that the Lord will make you a god. I cannot hear. I say, I pray the Lord will make you a god, because you walk in levels of the supernatural. Because of the fire that we have received. Hallelujah. Let's move to the third one. As I prepare myself for us to pray. We must also pray at all times. Pray at all times. The book of James chapter 5 verse 17 talks about the fact that Elijah was a man just like us. That when Elijah prayed and he said that it should not rain, it did not rain. And the same Elijah, when he prayed that the rain should come, the rains came down. I pray that the Lord will help us to be very prayerful. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it will not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. The next one. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. I pray that the Lord will make you very prayerful. In this season, may the Lord make you very prayerful. I cannot hear you. I say, in this season, may the Lord make you prayerful. Because it is only prayer that can sustain this fire. If you are not praying, trust me, this fire cannot, it cannot stand. And it will not stand. It doesn't matter. It can be just 10 minutes. From 10 minutes, you graduate to 20 minutes. From 20 minutes, you move to 30 minutes. From 30 minutes, you move 1 hour. It's a gradual step. I didn't know I could pray this much. I didn't know before. But you know, when you are very young, and the things you tell God, he does it too. Do you know that? You know why I'm saying that? I remember some so many, many years ago. Uncle, I don't know whether you remember. We had one of the camps here so many, many, many years ago. We didn't go anywhere. We had it here. I think I was somewhere 14 years or so. 13 or 14, one of them. Yeah. We had it downstairs. And one of the meetings, it was a youth camp, but we had it here. I remember it was downstairs. The whole place was not tarred. It wasn't looking nice, but we still came. And it was Reverend Hemeku who came to preach that morning or afternoon. And he was telling God that he was telling us that whatever you want God to use you to do, you should say it. I mean, I was very young, but I remember the things I was saying. I was telling God, I want to be very prayerful. I want to be very and that was all I was saying. I want to know how to pray. I want to know the things of God. I want to be very spiritual. I said all those things there. But it did not happen at that time. In those days, I wasn't really like that. But I was saying it. So at this stage, the kind of prayers we are saying, that is what the Holy Spirit is also going to work on. The things you are going to say concerning your life, that is what the Holy Spirit also going to work on. So if you are here and you are saying that you are a hustler, you'll be a hustler. Oh, yes. As for science, I don't know science. It's normal. I don't know anything about science. I know I don't do well with science. You are saying it. And if you don't take care, you will not do well in science. So your tongue must change. Hallelujah. Time is running out. So like I was saying, we must learn to pray at all times. And then the fourth one is we must meditate on God's word. Psalm 1 verse 2 to 3. By his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. He habitually meditates on it by day and night. Write that scripture down. When you go home, you read more about it. Meditating on God's word is also going to help us to keep this fire burning. We've been doing the daily Bible challenge. I'm sure most of us are not doing it again. Are we doing it? Let me see by hands those of us who are doing it, who are following it strictly. Let me see by hands. Hey! Let me see your hands up. Up. Be honest with yourself. Open, lift it. Let me see. Hey, Jesus is Lord. Hey. Please, let's revisit it. Hallelujah. And then, last but not the least, we must serve the Lord. The three people I mentioned, they were serving God. They were serving the Lord. At this age, what can you do if you are not serving the house of God? You're not doing anything. You come to church, you come and sit on the chair. When we close, you pack your things and then you go home. You go again, you go and wait another week, you come back. Come and warm the pews. Like that. This young man there is my very good friend. This young man. He lives in my area. Yesterday I met him, I was asking him, what do you do in church? My very good friend. So I told him, he has to serve in the house of God. And from next week going, I'm monitoring you. Hallelujah. And some of you, that's how it will come. We'll visit you. Because you must serve in the house of God. You must do the work of the Lord. Because this is the time. You are able, you are strong, energetic, you have all it takes to do it. So this is the time for us to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And then finally, we must learn to share the good news. We must learn to share the good news. The good news is the word of God. Wherever we find ourselves, we'll share the good news. Peter, who was a fisherman, he was catching fishes. Now he was no longer catching fish. He was catching what? Human beings. That's how our life has to be. If you want to maintain this fire, it is through the winning of souls. And once again, my mind goes back to some time back when I can't say when we were on fire because we are still on fire. If I say we were, then it means now I'm not on fire. Just that now we are not doing like the way we used to do it. Previously, this whole area was our territory. We're territorial managers. House to house. We were even inviting older people to church. And you know, they were not going to the main church. They were coming here. Some of them even said that they were enjoying the youth service. People were older than us. But if you don't share the word of God, how will you know that you're anointed? How will you know? You will not know. until you start speaking to people about Christ. That is when you know that you are anointed or God is using you. And I'm praying for some of us that from today, God will empower us, that we'll start preaching in our classrooms. Yes, you will preach in front of your colleagues in class. Some of them will even share testimonies after you have ministered to them. Your teachers will even call you to come and preach to them. That is the point you have to get to. And it's at that time that you realize that, yes, God is with me. But if you come and hear the word and you claim you are on fire, and we are not seeing the evidence, if you don't take care, the fire will go down. And if the fire go down, before you realize, you are losing it. But I pray that we will not lose that fire. Oh, you did not hear me. I said we will not lose that fire. I said we will not lose that fire. Because God is going to use us. Shall we be upstanding? We are going to pray. I want you to close your eyes. Thank God for His word that has come to you. Thank God for His word that has come to you this morning. And tell Him that you have heard about these great people. You've heard about Paul. You've heard about Apollos. You've heard about Saul. Who eventually became Paul. You've heard about Peter. They are all great apostles of the Lord. And the Lord used them mightily. I want you to lift up your voice this morning and say that, Lord Jesus, as you use these men, use me too. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Father, Lord Jesus, use us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Kata baba 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 sekete broko sata. Ade kete de broko sata da baba. Reka baba baba sete kete de briana laba. Lord, we have come to you this morning. Use us, too, Lord. Use us, too, O Lord, for the great and mighty things, O Lord Jesus, that is ahead of us. We have come before you this morning and we are saying that, Lord, use us. Use us, O Lord. Ricondo robo seke tenebre atanda la bosa ke tenebre a pambo robo seke di andala balaba. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, use us too. Use us too, Lord. Rapapanda rabana bana 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 basa apanda namba seke tenebre. The Lord Jesus, the fire that you have deposited in us, Lord Jesus, it will not go waste. That our generations will benefit from this fire. In the name of Jesus. Rebro Satim Ri Antonri Anamaha. Apabanda Badabana Basanda Bana Banabaha. Apanda Bana Manabasata. Apamba Babana Bana Bana Banabaha. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Rapandorobo seke tenere andalabaha. Apapa Give me the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1 to 7. And this is what the Lord is going to do with some of us today. Before we leave, some of us are going to receive strange giftings in the next 10 minutes. Can I have first? Okay, good. Please, who can sing this song for me?
the ashes of a brand new today.
You know that song? Wow. It's an old song. You know that song?
I see the breaking of a brand new day, in which the name of the Lord will be glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new day, out of the ashes of my dying today. I see the breaking of a brand new day, in which the name of the Lord
alone is glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new
something. Listen, this is what God is going to give to some of us in the next few minutes. Listen to this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these damned idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Next, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. Next, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of the prophets of all. Next, for to one is giving the word of wisdom. Now listen, this is what the Lord is going to deposit to some of us this morning before we leave this place. The word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Next. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. In the next few minutes, receive that gift in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive the giftings of the Holy Spirit now. Receive it. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Lord, receive it now. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. The giftings of the Holy Spirit. Receive it this moment. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it now. Receive. Receive it. The giftings of the Holy Spirit. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. Receive it. Receive it. In the name of Jesus. From today, the gift of the prophecy, you are receiving it now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I see the
breaking. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. Blessed this morning. Okay, please let them come in. Let them come. Let me pray with them. Let them come. Let me pray for all of them.
All the
This atmosphere is good for this, for him. Pray for him that when the prophetic comes over his life, which is coming down this very moment, you will have that boldness and the courage to speak. most often, okay, when God calls you as a prophet, if you don't take care, you'll be afraid to say some of the things the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. But we are praying for him that when the time comes, which is now, the Lord will give you that courage and that boldness to speak out. That nothing, absolutely nothing will stop him. Pray for him. And if you want it to, as you are praying for him, you are getting it. Receive it. Lord, a mighty shout.